either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home. Inshallah, just to continue from our Jumu'ah session, understanding the plight of the Rohingya Muslim community and the lessons that we need to take from what is happening around the world, something which is very, very important. First of all, alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman, Islam, alhamdulillah. And a Muslim can never be a terrorist. A Muslim can never be a terrorist. This is something which is mentioned in the Kalam of Allah, in the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Terrorizing people has nothing to do with Islam. Islam is rahmat. Islam is a mercy. That is why in one beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a hadith which is not just a hadith but hadith-e-qudsi, which means that a hadith in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is narrating from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the Nabi of Allah is saying that this is what Allah has said. So that is called hadith-e-qudsi. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Ya ibadi, إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي O my slaves, I have made haram upon me zulm. I have made haram upon me oppression, zulm. And so Allah is saying, I have made zulm haram upon me. This is the mercy of Allah. I have made oppression haram upon me, forbidden upon me. وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا And thereafter Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that Allah is saying that when I have made oppression zulm haram upon me, I have also made zulm haram upon yourselves. That it is not jais for anyone to do zulm upon anybody. فَلَا تَظَالَمُ And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't oppress anyone. Do not oppress anyone. These are the beautiful teachings of Islam. A Muslim is not a terrorist. In fact, as Muslims, it is our duty that when you see some form of oppression, zulm, then it is our duty to immediately stop that oppression and zulm. That is the sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, right from the beginning, alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we should be very, very proud. No matter what people say, alhamdulillah, Muslims are people who love peace. And we are peacemakers. Our history shows that. Alhamdulillah. Our history shows that. Look at history, read history, and you will see that. Subhanallah al-Azim. There's no time to touch the different countries of the world. But that is our tariq. When our Nabi entered Madinatul Munawwara, the Jewish communities were already settled there. The Jews were there, very powerful people. The first thing our Nabi did was made peace with them, truce and agreement. That you have nothing to fear. My coming, for you there is no fear. Whoever you want to worship, however you want to worship, wherever you want to worship, whatever you want to do, you are free to do that. But there was an agreement, of course. A peace treaty that was written and signed. And so Muslims are people who love peace. The word Muslim also comes from silm and salamati. And we always say assalamu alaikum all the time. Peace is something which is very intrinsic to us. It is part of us. Subhanallah. We worship Rahman. And so we are people of compassion. Because Allah is most merciful. And when you worship Rahman, you yourself become very, very merciful. Alhamdulillah. And so we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for our brothers and sisters and the Ahle Iman that are suffering as we speak in Burma, the Rohingya Muslim community. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of rahmat for them also. No doubt it is a shame that very consciously the world has turned a blind eye deliberately. And it gives you a lot of pain when you see even that the Muslims are quiet and silent about this and not speaking out. This goes against the teachings of Allah and His Rasul. There is no wisdom in this. That you need to speak out when you see something that is wrong. That is your imani haq, that you have to do this. Even the Pope spoke out. Can you imagine that? Allahu Akbar. The Pope, Catholic Pope, spoke out. And I'm sure all of you must have seen that clip. Allah opened the doors of hidayat for him. Inshallah. And also, the Archbishop Desmond Tutu, he spoke out. And I just want to read out when he spoke out and what he said. In his own letterhead, and he says it's an open letter from Archbishop to Archbishop Desmond Tutu to Aung San Suu. Aung San Suu. Even for him to write a letter, we have not even seen this anyway from any of the Muslim countries. No harkat, no activity, nothing. Allahu Akbar. It's like as if the Ummah is sleeping. The Ummah is sleeping. And so what he writes, I am now elderly, decrepit and formally retired, but breaking my vow to remain silent on public affairs out of profound sadness about the plight of the Muslim minority in your country, the Rohingya. Subhanallah. Imagine this man is retired, an old man, not a Muslim, and he takes out time to write a letter directly to this lady. And then how he will address her, listen to this. He says, in my heart you are a dearly beloved younger sister. For years I had a photograph of you on my desk to remind me of the injustice and sacrifice you endured out of your love and commitment for the Myanmari people. You symbolized righteousness. In 2010 we rejoiced at your freedom from house arrest. And in 2012, we celebrated your election as a leader of the opposition. Subhanallah. Your emergence into public life allayed our concerns about violence being perpetrated against members of the Rohingya, but what some have called ethnic cleansing and others a slow genocide, has persisted and recently accelerated. The images we are seeing. So even he is seeing the images. The images we are seeing of the suffering of the Rohingya fill us with pain and dread. And then there's one more paragraph, but just to end, my dear sister, if the political prize of your ascension to the highest office in Myanmar is your silence, the price is surely too steep. A country that is not at peace with itself, that fails to acknowledge and protect the dignity and worth of all its people, it is not a free country. Now imagine, subhanallah, even good human beings that think alike. And that is what Islam teaches us. So when you see zulm, you don't look at the fact that that person, because he is a Muslim, I must help him. No. If there is someone suffering, and if he is oppressed, whether he is a Muslim, a Hindu, a Christian, a Jew, or anyone for that matter, it is our duty to go and help them and assist them. And these are the beautiful teachings of Nabi-e Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You might know, brothers, that if you look at, and if you have read the Irish history, the great famine that took place in Ireland in the, was it 1840s? And they were dying in thousands. They were dying in thousands. Every day, thousands and thousands of Irish people were dying. At that time, the Ottoman Empire, Sultan Abdul Majid the First. Sultan Abdul Majid the First. Now, what connection is there? Where is Ireland? And where is the Ottoman Empire? But the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Muslims are people who have mercy in their heart. That is why even in India today, Muslims ruled for centuries, more than 800 years, and everybody lived very, very peacefully. And the Hindu community dominance has just come about, and they feel that Muslims are a thorn in their throat, and they can't see Muslims. Subhanallah. Look at the tariq of Islam. That is why Islam means peace. So Sultan Abdul Majid the First decided to assist them. At that time he wanted to give them 10,000 pounds. How much? 1840. 10,000 pounds, the equivalent today is 1.7 million pounds from the Islamic treasury to the Irish people. And then Queen Victoria had to write a letter to him that please don't give 10,000 pounds. It will be difficult for me to show the face because I have only given 2,000. What is the Queen saying? I have only given 2,000. And she said, you give 1,000. You can't give 10,000, you must give 1,000. And he actually gave 1,000. Whatever the reason, he gave 1,000, but he had promised 10,000. So what he did, 5 ships filled with food, 5 ships were sent from the Islamic Khilafat at that time of the Ottoman Empire going to the port Drogad. Is it Drogad? Drogad Harbour, that is where it went. And it was the British that they wanted to block the Turkish ships that were going with food to the Irish people, but somehow Allah managed it in such a way that everything got there in safety. And the Irish people still remember the Turkish Muslims till today. If I'm not mistaken, I read that they still have that emblem, that the star in the Turkish flag, they have this crescent and a star there. And they still have that. And they still maintain a very good relationship with the Muslims because at that time, the Muslims came and they saved the Irish people. These are the beautiful teachings of our Nabi, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But unfortunately, what is happening, my respected brothers and elders, the world is quiet today. And that is what gives you pain. What gives you pain is this, that why is there no harkats? Now why we don't even see one telephone call or something that is happening, that we are concerned about a group of people. More than 50 Muslim countries, even if you were to take 1,000 each, or how many you could take, subhanallah, Allah will open the doors of your rizq. Allah will increase your economy. Allah will increase your economy. Allah is the one who gives rizq. And there was one man who came and he said, Hazrat, you know, I'm finding it very difficult. You know, my sustenance is very, very hard. Allah's Nabi said to him, get married. Allah's Nabi said to him, get married. After he got married again, then he says, oh, now he's even more difficult. Allah's Nabi said, then take another wife. Take her. But Sahaba were not people, you know, who question. They had full yaqeen upon Rasulullah sallallahu. What my Nabi says is right. Allah opens the doors of rizq. When you have children and daughters, when you have daughters, there's lots of barakat. Ab kisi ko bhi pooch lo ke jinke paas banat hai, betiyan hai, and you will see, mashallah, rizq and barakat will come. Barakat will come if you have daughters also. Not that, you know, sons will not attract the rahmat of Allah. It's not that. But Allah is the one who is Razzaq. And our duty is to assist and help. And we have to do that blindly. Especially somebody who is of Ahle Iman. That is our duty. That is our haq. So much so Allah's Nabi has said, the right of your Muslim brother is that if he sneezes, you respond to him. If he gives you salam, you respond to him. And if he invites you, accept his invitation. That is why there is a masla when it comes to walima. It's very important that if somebody gives you da'wat, you shouldn't just say no to it. These are the hukuk and the rights of one Muslim to another Muslim. If he is not well, it is the haq of the Muslim community, iyadatul mariz, that go and see him. It is his haq that if he has passed away, make sure, farz-e kifaya, that the community has to be there and read the janaza and bury him. That is his haq. These are the rights. This is the haq that Allah has given to the people of Iman. And so khair, my respected brothers, alhamdulillah, quite a bit was also covered as regards to what's happening in Rohingya and that region. What I wanted to actually put in front of you today is something very, very important. And if you actually go back 50 years, around just more than 50 years, and if you look at Burma, at that time, 1964 approximately, the Muslim community that lived in Rangoon, they came from the Surat district, India. In Gujarat, that part. And they also came from UP. And generally the Gujarati community, brothers, know that these people are business-minded people. And when they came in Rangoon, alhamdulillah, Allah had given them a lot of wealth. They were very, very rich. Allah had opened up the doors of wealth for them. They were extremely rich, mashallah. They did not need to go and do chanda anywhere else. They would finance the masjid and the building of masajid and the madaris that were there. They were people who invited scholars to come and to give lectures. And so many great scholars have come to Burma and they have given lectures. Subhanallah, from amongst the great scholars that came is one great scholar whose name is Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Mia Nadwi. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Mia Nadwi. I don't need to introduce this incredible individual, subhanallah, an ambassador of Islam, a giant amongst the scholars today, a man who has authored many, many kitabs in Urdu. His books have been translated, books that have been written in Arabic and are taught in Islamic universities. Scholars who become alim actually read his books. Scholars who become scholars have to read his books that have been written in adab in the Arabic language. So that is Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Miah Nadwi for you. A great, great individual. So around 1964, the Muslim community of Burma had invited Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Miah Nadwi also to come and to give a lecture and to remind people, give advice. Now, we have to learn and take heed, and there is a lesson for us. When anything happens in this world, any event, any incident that takes place in this world, we have to take heed. And it's very, very important that we take heed. And what I want to show you today is some excerpts that are taken from the bayan of this great, great alim. Now, Maulana did a bayan in the Surti Masjid in Burma at that time, and he was in a very different mood, very upfront and very, very straightforward. And his entire lecture has been transcribed, translated. It's in Urdu, it's in English. Even today you can find his entire lecture. And it is that lecture that I want to talk about today, inshallah, so that we take some lessons. Hazrat was a man who Allah had blessed with foresight, with hikmat and wisdom. Allah had given him a lot of knowledge, respected throughout the Muslim world. Throughout the Muslim world, the Saudi scholars would respect him everywhere. That is how he was. You will also find some of his lectures in Arabic in YouTube. And what a humble man this man was. He was the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he came, and when he was invited, he was very straightforward. And after his khutbah, he spoke to the people that were there, and he said, you know what, today I am going to give a lecture. It's not going to be a sweet lecture that many people like, but I'm going to be very stern, very strong in my words. I'll be upfront, and I will tell you things which you might not like also, but it is only for your benefit. It is only for your benefit. And so Hazrat spoke to them, it is only for your benefit what I am telling you. And he said to them, who was a very humble man, he said, look, you know what, I'm not some kind of a waliullah that you have heard of and kashf comes to me and, you know, somehow some inspiration comes to me. No, I'm a simple man, but I am seeing this very dark cloud in the heavens. What did he say? I'm seeing this very dark cloud in the heavens. This is what I'm seeing. And when there is a very dark cloud, it means that it's going to rain. It's going to rain heavy. So what he said to the people at that time, if we are not going to have some kind of an action plan as Muslims, then it will rain down calamities from the heavens. It will rain down calamities from the heavens. Masaib will come down. Very quickly we need to come with an action plan. This is what Hazrat said. Allah ki shan, Hazrat delivered this bayan within 1 or 2 weeks. The communist revolution took place. The communist revolution took place in Burma at that time. Those that were millionaires became penniless. Millionaires, Muslims, became penniless. Properties were taken away from them. They were chased out from their own residence. Whatever they had, everything was taken away. Within 1 day and one night, this person became completely muflis. A millionaire is on the streets having nothing. He owns nothing. And it was very, very difficult at that time for the Muslims. Very difficult. So this is one part of history. But khair, Hazrat actually said that we as Muslims need to take heed. And these are great scholars. They have a vision. Allah opens their hearts. And so what did Hazrat say? He's mentioned a lot of points, but some points that I have taken out so that we understand. He said that he mentioned some of the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that we take a lesson from the lives of Sahaba. So he also mentioned a Sahabi whose name is Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari. Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala an, a Madani Sahabi Ansari. And then he made reference to an incident. He said that when the Muhajireen came and left Makkah, when they came to Medina Munawwara, the Ansar showed tremendous sacrifice. And without a doubt, it is unimaginable jihad that they did in opening up the doors for the Muhajireen, and what they gave the Muhajireen. Everything was given to them. And so what had happened is that some from amongst the Ansar, I'm saying some Ansari Sahaba, they were talking amongst themselves and they said to themselves that, you know what, Alhamdulillah, we have done a lot for our deen. What did they say? We have shown tremendous sacrifice for our deen. We have done a lot. And no doubt they did a lot. They did so much. And so some of them that were sitting there, 3, 4, one of them said that, I think what we should do now, we should slightly take a back step from being so active in our deen, and let us be now a bit more active in our business. The orchards, the farms that we have, the businesses that we have, let us be a bit more active in that. Just a slight respite, just turn on your heels a bit from this activity of deen that we have done so much. That is what they felt. They actually felt that they have done a lot. Who are these? The Ansari Sahaba. Subhanallah. And Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Mia Nadwi says that when a few from amongst the Ansar were saying this, a verse of the Quran was revealed, which is a lesson for all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayat of the Quran. Allah said, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ, and do not destroy yourselves with your own hands by saying, we will cut down slightly from our deeni activities and accelerate our activities of dunya. We will cut down our deeni activities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do you want to destroy yourselves with your own hands? Do you think that you have done a lot for this deen? And is this deen a joke? Allahu Akbar. Sahaba ikram ajma'in. When this ayat kareema was revealed, immediately that attitude was changed. Allahu Akbar. What did we do? They did tawbah. A few sahaba. They did tawbah and they said, you know what, this thinking was wrong. Halake, their thinking of dunya was not like how we are living this dunya. It was only a bit. They said, slightly we should cut down now and do a bit more so we can perhaps help more. But even this was not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Mia Nadwi was sitting there and giving a lecture, and he said that this is a lesson for the people of Iman. Shaitan makes us feel that, you know what, we have done a lot for our deen. We have done a lot for our deen. Ko 4 mahine jamaat mein gaya to he thinks asman tod diya. Kisi ne jo hai kuch zara deen ki khidmat ki to he thinks I have done a lot. If he has given some money, then he thinks that, you know what, I have given money and I have done this and I have done this charity and I have done this, I have done this. A few lectures some knowledgeable person has given and he thinks, you know what, I have done this. You are teaching the kids, you know, morning and night, and you think that you have done a lot. Subhanallah, The Quran is saying that you can never take a back step when it comes to your deen. You have to be pushing yourself forward in your deen. Hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Until death comes to you. Until death comes to you. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Mia Nadwi, rahmatullah alayh, said this in Rangoon in Burma at that time. And then he said, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an from the Ansari Sahaba, a man whose entire life was of Qurbani, and when he was very, very old, the jihad that was taking place, and with Qustuntunya and the other sections, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari said to the Mujahideen that I am an old man, but I will still join the group and I will fight. They said, Hazrat, you know, you are old, you can't fight. He says, no, put me on a horse. And they actually had to lift him up and put him there. He was so frail, weak. And he says, you know what, I will do my best and whatever happens to me, if you see Abu Ayyub Ansari, the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if I am made shaheed, then bury me there. Don't take me anywhere else. Bury me wherever I am, so on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see that Abu Ayyub Ansari is resting very far out from Medina Munawwarah. That even when he was old, he went in the path. He went in the path. Now, my respected brothers, tabliq kisko kehte hai? What is tabliq? What Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Mia Nadwi was referring to is something that we need to understand. These are akabirin, their books have been written, and see what he was trying to say, and see what Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in had said. Hazrat then explains in his lecture, and he said, there is a purpose of life. What did he say? There is a purpose of life. Maulana Ilyas, Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Mian Nadwi, Rahmatullah Alayhi said that, and he explained it in such a beautiful way. Allah ke wali kamil the Hazrat. He said, the purpose of life can be understood at three levels. How many levels? At three levels. And he's speaking in Burma at that time. Thereafter, in 1 or 2 weeks, there was a revolution. So this is prior and before the revolution. So Hazrat is saying to the people of Burma, number one, our fundamental duty is protect your iman, the iman of your children and your progeny. That is level one. So what do? We protect our iman, the iman of our family, our children. This is something we have to do. We have to protect the iman of our family. And then number two, Hazrat said, protect the iman of new Muslims. What did he say? New Muslims. So first you protect the iman of your family. And then when you see new Muslims in the community that are there, also give them shelter and protect their iman. Because shaitan will attack them. Shaitan will attack them. So protect their iman. And then number three, Hazrat said, spread the Islam to all the people in Burma. What do you say? Spread Islam to all the people in Burma. All the wider community that is out there who are non-Muslims, spread Iman and Islam to them. Educate them. If you want peace, if you want rahmat, if you want that in the country that you are living in, it should be stable, then the fundamental duty is at three levels. This is what Hazrat said. One, protect your Iman, your children's Iman, your family's Iman. Two, when you see reverts, give them hope, give them shelter, give them comfort, give them all the assistance. And number three, all the non-Muslims that are out there that we meet all the time, they don't know anything about Islam. Anything. I have had groups of people, the police sector came to me and they said to me, Imam Muhammad, you know, why should you blame us when you Muslims have never informed us about your prophet to us? We don't know anything about Prophet Muhammad. Tumne hum tak deen kahan pahunchaya hai? All we have come here for is business, money, buy a shop, do that, do this. जितना हो सके हजार कमाते नहीं, 2000 बने, 2000 कमाए नहीं, 3000, 3000 नहीं 4000 होने चाहे 5000. People are working with you, non-Muslims, you've got friends, you've got an opportunity. Ek martaba bhi zindagi mein you've not talked about Allah and His Rasul. Not even once. And shaitan, you know what he says to you? No, no, be careful, you're not qualified to speak about Islam. What shaitan does? Do you need any qualifications to talk about Allah and His Rasul? To explain tawheed, that Allah is one? You need qualifications? In this modern world where knowledge is so accessible, every one of you can become Ahmad Didat and the likes and you name it. Everything is out there. Lekin humne susti ki hai. Remember one thing, my respected brothers, according to Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Miah Nadwi, even if you have masjids, even if you have madrasas, and even if you invited the ulama to come and to deliver the bayan, if you did not listen to the message of the ulama, and that is to invite and pass knowledge to the wider community that has got no Islam, and if you did not give dawah to that community, then it is something that we have to fear. It is something that we have to turn towards. We don't know what will happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers. This is a very, very serious matter. And Hazrat spoke from his heart. It was like as if we have never heard Maulana Ali Miah Nadwi speak like that. And he spoke with so much passion. There were people who were writing this khutbah down, what he said. And then Hazrat in his bayan gave an example of Sheikh Ali Hamdani rahmatullah alayh. And he said Sheikh Ali Hamdani rahmatullah alayh went to Kashmir 3 times. How many times? 3 times. A few more minutes inshallah then we end. He went to Kashmir 3 times. The first visit when he went to Kashmir, Hazrat is saying, he invited the non-Muslims of Kashmir towards Islam. He went to the city. Where did he go? So the people of the city, he went to them, talking to them about Allah and His Rasul. And he stayed there for a period of time. But his aim was the people of the city. Then he came the second time to Kashmir. And this time Hazrat stayed in Kashmir and he went around in the villages, talking to the people that were in the villages about Islam. And then the third time when Hazrat came to visit, Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Miah Nadwi says, that effort was such that it attracted the rahmat of Allah. Maulana Sheikh Ali Hamdani made so much effort with the community that was not Muslims, that he went and he knocked at the doors of every kafir that was there in Kashmir, talking to them about Allah and His Rasul. The barakat of this effort, Sheikh Abul Hasan Nadwi says, entire Kashmir became Muslim. Pura Kashmir in 3 visits became Muslim. How long have we been in this country for? How is Manchester United doing? How is Liverpool doing? How is Leicester doing? Bas, yahi dunya ki fuzuliyat, that is all we know. We never have fikr, we've never turned to them. We don't allow them in our masjids. We don't talk to them, we don't show them the Quran, we don't do dawah to them. And anybody who does dawah to them, they say, why are you doing dawah to them? First do dawah to your Muslim community. This is shaitaniyat. You yourself are a shaitan if you think like that. Look at the Quran, what the Quran is saying. Kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the best ummah. And then Allah is saying what? Ukhrijat linnas. Allah has taken you out for all of humanity. Is cheez ko hum ban nahi kar sakte. These were our mashayikh and our ulama. And within 2-3 weeks, the communist revolution, those who were millionaires, those who did hijrat from Gujarat, they became penniless. Until today, Allah help all the Muslim community. Allahu Akbar. But this is what I'm saying. And then Hazrat said so many things, but Hazrat gave an ajib example. He said, don't make them your customers of this dunya. Don't make them the customers of this dunya. Make them the customers of the hereafter. When they come to you, befriend them and then talk to them about Allah and His Rasul. Invite them. And then what he said, He said, this ummah today, 1960s, he said this. He said, the condition of this ummah today is such, ajeeb, he said. He said, let me give you an example. He said, if there is one professor whose duty is to teach education in a university, in college, and he also owns a tuck shop, a small tuck shop in the college somewhere. So instead of concentrating and focusing towards teaching the children and educating the children, his entire time is spent, on thinking how much profit I will earn in my tuck shop. How much profit I will earn in my tuck shop. Mujhe kitna paisa milega mere tuck shop mein. And he's not spending time in educating the masses that are there, the children that are there. Then what will happen? That the purpose will be defeated. So he said, the purpose of you and I, the Muslim community, the Muslim ummah, to be in this dunya, is to do the works of Nabi. And the works of Nabi is that you talk to non-Muslims and you bring them to Iman and Islam. That is your duty. That is your duty. This is what he said. He says, otherwise, what is the purpose? What is the purpose? Bring them. Kitne log Musalman hue. And the revolution that took place, revolution is taking place in many parts of the world. Today, the Arab world, the Middle East is sleeping. How much dawah work is there? How much dawah work is there? I've been to many places in Dubai and many other parts. Nobody, there's no real dawah work going on with the non-Muslim community. We are so busy with our infrastructure. This building we should have. This should be our economy. Ye hona chahiye, wo hona chahiye. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Mia Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, according to him, sab ke sab bewakoof hai. According to him is what? Sab ke sab bewakoof hai. Because when that tsunami comes, it will be too late for us to wake up. Then we will say, yaar kaash ke, ye jo log hamare saath kaam karte the, hum inko iman batate, islam batate. Exactly what we have not taken the qualities and the traits of the of sahaba-e kiram ajma'in. Main Afrika mein kuch gaya tha hal mein. So I said to the tycoons, the Muslims are tycoons in Africa. Now every Muslim is rich, mashallah, there. So I said to him, bhai, Allah ne tum itne paise diye hai. This worker that has been your driver, say his name is Christopher. Have you ever talked to him about Allah and his Rasul? I mean, he's been your driver for 16 years. This black man, bichar, African man, gharib insan, jisko tum kehte ho ki ye aise siyah chamri wale log, you have no respect for them. Have you ever spoken about Allah and His Rasul? Wallahi, you mahsus ho, ek tamacha usko do main. Feel like slapping them. I'm sitting on the pulpit at one time, I actually felt I want to do hijrat and go to that country. I nearly decided, I said, you know what, if I was here, I think, you know, I just need a team and we can do quite a lot here. Bat. This ummah is, in Portugal where I was, bheekh mangi logo se. You did not even do the dawah works, bichare, the Portuguese were coming in the masjid and begging you, we want to become a Muslim. We want to become Muslims. But there was nobody to make them read the kalima. This is the ummah today. I get a phone call from Nottingham. Oh, Imam Muhammad, you know, you have the Islam Information Center. Gee, I'm from Nottingham. I says, well, why don't you go to Nottingham to read the kalima? Because I did. One of the chaps in the masjid said that it's haram for you to embrace Islam. You can't actually embrace Islam. So I'm not quite sure. You know how, main mubalaga nahi kar raha hu. Main aisi koi baat nahi kar raha hu. Main masjid mein hu. Well, you can't become a Muslim. I'm not quite sure. Can I become a Muslim or what? I've studied. Maine kaha, yaar, foran aao. Kya hai, mere azizo? Don't you know what is the works of Nabi? Did Anbiya go to the doors of Muslims? Was Fir'aun a Muslim? Was Qarun a Muslim? Was Abu Jahl a Muslim? Was Abu Lahab a Muslim? The people who persecuted Sahaba, the mushrikeen of Makkah, were they Muslims? Was it Muslims who forced the Muslims to get out and go to Medina? Ye daawat ke kaam ko hum kab samjhenge? What is daawat? Listen to our Sheikh, Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Mia Nadvi Rahmatullah Ali. Within 2 weeks, Burma was gone. Burma was gone. Hazrat said, what Allah, and he said, action plan must be this. Your children must be protected. The reverts must be looked after. And then he said, impart Allah and His Rasul to every. Today people don't know. That is why they are calling us terrorists. That is why they are saying Muslims are bad people. Because we've not reached out to them. Allah Pak, mujhe aapko hareko taufeeq de mere azizo. Subhanallah. This is our duty. If you can't see, then read the translations of Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Mia Nadvi. Read his kitabs. Subhanallah, what vision. Read the khutubat of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. Read the people, what they are doing and how they are doing and what ulama did. Our akabir, how did Iman and Islam come to India? How did it come? How Islam entered in many parts of the world? Kam kare mere aziz. And now we need to change our mindset and thinking. We should be now thinking of how Iman and Islam will come from the non-Muslim community. From the non-Muslim community. That is da'wat. That is the meaning of the hadith where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person goes in the path of Allah and the trouble that he has, this is the sawab he will have, that is all. The most difficult da'wat is to talk to a non-Muslim. Allah Pak, mujhe aapko har ek ko taufeeq de inshaAllah. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, musalman ke hal par raham farma. Ya Allah, hamare Rohingya musalman community par raham farma. Allah Pak, karam farma. Allah Pak, hum gunahgar hai. Allah, aapne hame itni zabardast daulat di. ایمان کی دولت دی قرآن کی دولت دی اللہ لیکن ہم اتنے بڑے بخیل بن گئے یا اللہ کہ اس دولت کو ہم نے کسی کے سامنے نہیں رکھا اللہ ہم تو بہت بڑے بخیل ہیں اللہ ہمیں توفیق دے ہم سخی بن جائے اللہ ہم سخی بن جائے اور ہم غیر مسلم کے سامنے بھی اللہ تیری برائی بیان کرے اور تیرا نام ان کے سامنے رکھے تیرے کلام کو ان کے سامنے رکھے تیرے پیارے حبیب کی عادات اور سنت کو ان کے سامنے رکھے اللہ کریم جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا دے اللہ کریم اسلام کو عظمت دے اللہ کریم مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما اللہ کریم ہمیں ایسے لیڈر دے یا اللہ جو حضرت عمر فاروق کی طرح ہو حضرت ابوبکر صدیق کی طرح ہو حضرت علی کی طرح ہو حضرت عثمان کی طرح ہو امیر معاویہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ کی طرح ہو حضرت حسین کی طرح ہو اللہ بڑے بڑے ایسے لیڈر ہمیں دے یا اللہ اسلامی ممالک کی تو حفاظت فرما اللہ کریم اس ملک کی تو حفاظت فرما اللہ انگلینڈ کی حفاظت فرما یوروپ کی تو حفاظت فرما اللہ کریم ہماری جوان نسل کی تو حفاظت فرما وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.